Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're this week talking about St. Peter, kind of celebrating the life of St. Peter these days. On Friday is the Feast of the Chair of St. Peter, where the church remembers the unique role, the unique place of St. Peter in the life of the church, the first pope, the one whom Jesus gave the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And we're looking at the person of Peter as he's presented to us in the Gospels, in Matthew in particular, just the ups and the downs of Peter's life. It's almost humorous just to see how high he can be at one moment and how far he can fall at the next moment. I can relate to that. I can relate to that as a human being. And Jesus chose, as St. Paul said, he chose the weak in the world to shame those who consider themselves strong, to bring to nothing those who think they're something. He said, so that no man can boast in the reality of what God is bringing to the world, his kingdom, his salvation, his glory, his reign. No man can boast. I didn't create it. I can't demand it because of my perfection. I didn't earn it just because of my own deeds. This is the gift of God that's been given to me. And it's absolutely astounding. So we see the pattern of Jesus' work with the life of the apostles very much shown forth in the life of Peter in an entirely unique way, really. And so if you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, it began on Monday in Matthew chapter 16. You could go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived right there. You can listen to them on your computer, download them, put them on whatever device works for you to listen when you can, or you could just sign up for our podcast, listen to it at your leisure. And don't forget the booklet at the end of the program here, The Game Changer by Peter Burak. It's a wonderful short booklet on the role of the Holy Spirit in our life and how the Holy Spirit and yielding to the Spirit, learning how to grow in relationship with the Holy Spirit, the difference it'll make in your life personally, in the growth of holiness, life transformation, the freedom and the joy that comes with the Holy Spirit, at the same time giving us power to engage the mission of Jesus, the great commission that the apostles themselves were sent on. So far we had in the story of St. Peter here, beginning on Monday, was Jesus asking the question, who do you say that I am? And of course, Peter is the one who declares, you are the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Peter, what my Father has shown to you. And then he says, you are Peter, which means he's rock, Kepha, you are rock, and upon this rock I'll build my church. And he gives him the keys. He's the second in command. He's going to have particular authority, really the authority of what we now understand today as the vicar of Christ. And then now that the revelation came to Peter, one of them, the leader among the 12, that Jesus is indeed the Messiah, then Jesus begins to teach them about what's the destiny of the Messiah. And to their great surprise, he said that the Messiah must suffer and die at the hands of the religious leaders and others. And Peter's like, no, that can't happen. No, no, no. So Peter goes from having an inspired word from God to being rebuked by Jesus, who said, get behind me, Satan. Now he's speaking under a different kind of inspiration, right? He's yielding to his own understanding, his own wisdom, which is limited, comes out of his flesh, that fallen reality of who he is. And then Jesus rebukes him, and he said, Peter, you're not acting on the side of God. You're acting on the side of men who are not yet on the side of God. Could you imagine that moment? So put yourself right there with the 12, having just seen Peter raised up by Jesus, and then Peter be strongly rebuked by Jesus because of his lack of discernment, his lack of wisdom, his lack of being yielded to God. But that's the condition all the apostles were in, and all human beings are, apart from the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. So then Jesus makes clear, okay, now what does it mean to follow the Messiah? The next section of chapter 16 said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So be willing to deny your self-will in the sense of, I'm my own master, I'm my own creator, I'm my own determiner of what is good and what's true. I'll put Jesus in my life the place I want him to be, instead of saying, no, it's not my will, Lord, but yours be done. And then take up your cross. Jesus is saying, there should be no limit to your willingness to follow me. Because as he'll say in other places in the Gospels, he'll make it really clear. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. And guess what? The more identified you are with me, the more the world that's resisting my Father and resisting me will hate you. There's a very powerful dimension of the world that does not want the reign and the authority of God. They want a Jesus without teeth, so to speak. They want a Jesus that's not going to interfere with the life I'm shaping for myself, a Jesus that fits right where I want him to fit. So Jesus is making clear to the apostles that what it means is to be willing to give up everything. What good does it do to gain all the gold in the world and all the influence and fame and to not have taken this path and following Jesus and lose your whole life? So that's the end of chapter 16. Now, 17 begins with the transfiguration. And Peter's right at the center of this as well. It said, "And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is well that we're here. If you wish, I will make 3 booths here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah.' He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him.' When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were filled with awe. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, 'Rise and have no fear.' And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only." There's so much in this passage. Again, Peter right in the middle of it, and he's the one to respond to it. I just want to read the commentary here from the Ignatius Catholic Study Bible, which I'd recommend to you. It's really excellent to give you understanding of just key verses as you're reading your way through the Bible. It says, "The Old Testament background for this event, that is the Transfiguration, is God's revelation to Moses on Mount Sinai." Here's the parallels. Number one, both take place on the seventh day. Both occur on a mountain. Number two. Number three, both Jesus and Moses take 3 companions with them. Number four, the faces of both Jesus and Moses shine with God's glory. Five, both involve the glory cloud of God's presence. Six, and both events involve God speaking through a heavenly voice. So Jesus is the new Moses. This is essentially what's being communicated here, right? He's the new Moses. He's the one who's going to lead all of God's people into God the Father's ultimate purpose for them. But let's just take a look at it in a little more detail and Peter's role in it. So Jesus is transfigured. He's like raised up and his face is shining like the sun. The glory of God is upon him. And his garments are even as white as light, it says. And so what you have both Moses, who represents the law, is present on Sinai, and Elijah, who represents the prophets, who also encountered the Lord on a mountain. There they are, Moses and Elijah, with Jesus, and they're testifying. They're present. They know who Jesus is, right? And they're testifying to the reality of who Christ is, and that all Moses intended, all Elijah intended, all the great leaders of Israel intended, was for this moment, that is the coming forth of the Messiah, of Jesus. And so Peter wants to respond. That's, I think, one of the reasons Jesus loved Peter. He's like, yeah, let's do something. You know, he couldn't just stand there. He wanted to take the lead. He wanted to do something to take this precious moment and make it even more special in some way. He said, "Lord, it is well that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 booths, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." There's a lot to the having the booths and thinking about the Feast of Booths and the practice of the Jewish people. We won't go into that all right now, but just to get after a little bit more what's happening here to Peter and the apostles. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. A voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." So clear, so direct. Now, this is the voice of God the Father speaking from the glory cloud. Now, remember Jesus said to Peter the day Jesus asked, just days before, asked the question, "Who do you say that I am?" He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah. You're God's Son." And Jesus said, "There's no way you could know that," essentially. He said, "There's no way, Peter, you could know that I am God's Son in the way that I am God's unique son and that I am his Messiah, apart from my Father speaking to you. So the Father showed Peter in that context, and now Peter hears his voice coming from the cloud. And in his letter, I think it's in his first letter, Peter will reference this moment on the Mount of Transfiguration, having heard the voice, the prophetic voice declaring who Jesus is. This is my beloved. Peter will say as well, and we'll look at this tomorrow, from the first chapter of 1 Peter, he'll declare that we are sharing in the life of Jesus, so much so that the Father calls us beloved, calls us chosen, calls us destined to share in everything that belongs to Jesus, which is just extraordinary. But see, Peter's beginning to receive, as were John and James, this revelation. God the Father's pleased with his son. You know, God the Father's pleased with all of his children, those who follow his son. He's so pleased, he will let all those who follow his son share in everything that belongs to the son. And finally, the command of the Father, listen to him. Here's the central question for every single one of us. Are we listening to Jesus? We saw with Peter in the moment when he rebuked Jesus, when Jesus said he was going to suffer at the hands of the religious leaders and he was going to die. That's his destiny. Jesus came to die. He came to become an offering for sin. He offered himself freely in love on a cross to die for our sins, to cleanse us from it. And Peter rebuked him and said, God forbid. Peter was foolish. Peter's mind was darkened, right? He didn't see. He wasn't listening to Jesus. He was operating out of his own self-will in the moment, out of his own wisdom, relying on his own understanding. So the Father's making it clear, this is the one. This is my son. Listen to him. And of course, as the glory of the Father comes, what we see at different times in the Bible, New Testament, John, the beloved apostle, will have this experience he describes in the book of Revelation when Jesus in his lordship and majesty is revealed to him and he falls to the ground as though dead. Here it says, when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were filled with awe. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, rise and have no fear. What they experienced was the healthy fear of the Lord. It's so clarifying. It brings wisdom. You realize how awesome and mighty God is. This is a virtue that's missing in just a big way, I think, in the church today, even among our leaders, is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord opens our eyes to what these brothers saw and made capable of seeing the awesomeness and the power of God, and all that matters is God. I mean, is what God wants, is doing God's will. It's clarifying. It's pure. And it makes us strong spiritually. It's the foundation, I believe, of courage, of the willingness to sustain a wound and to say yes to Jesus' call to discipleship. Both love is the most powerful, I think, transforming virtue in willing to take on sacrifice, the love of Christ that's poured into our hearts. But the fear of God is something that the Holy Spirit gives us. It's all a part of what it means to know and love God. And so the apostles are experiencing it here, and Peter is right dead in the center of it all. So he went from being rebuked by Jesus to being now raised on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's able to be there with the brothers at that precious moment. Friends, we'll continue to reflect on St. Peter tomorrow. God bless you. Have a good day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.